Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Out of that building with everyone just chanting at all the Bills fans, go home. Just like, oh,
yeah,
that irked me. That Vrabel with the fake throwback, that irked me. That game irked me. That was the worst loss of the season for me. Not including, obviously,
yeah.
13 seconds.
13 seconds was tough. Levi Wallace broke down on a podcast recently. Like, he talked about what happened, and he didn't know where people were. And
yeah.
I saw another breakdown. Was it Darius Butler? For some reason, actually, I got something coming up that's funny. Anyway, good morning. Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase, and Zach Jones producing. Howard's back tomorrow after a six-week absence. He is back tomorrow. We're going to do a segment trying to remember all the things that happened that he missed while he was gone. You know, like the stadium got announced, the Bills drafted.
The stadium got announced?
Yeah.
It's been that long?
Yeah, pretty much.
That felt like it was 4 months ago.
I was texting him and I said some version of like, did Tom Brady retire and unretire while you were gone? Which I think that actually happened before he was gone. So anyway, Howard's back tomorrow, which means you're back in your normal regular life slot.
Yes, yes.
Extra Point Show, Chopin Bulldog. Anyway, a funny thing's been happening. I want to get back to the schedule in the Monday night game in just 1 minute, but I don't think you probably haven't been tagged in this. I have. About 10 times in the last week,
mm-hmm.
I have received a tweet that tags me and Howard and is a YouTube clip of our first segment after the Bills drafted Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And the tweet is, hey, look, I just stumbled across this, and it's someone tweeting me the segment, our first segment, the morning after the Bills drafted Josh Allen. And, you know, the first time it happened, like, oh, yeah, and I listened to it. You know, it's kind of funny to listen to.
Yeah.
And then it happened again. And then it happened again.
I was going to say, you talked about this, I think, on Friday a little bit, about, like, it wasn't as bad as
as
the person that tweeted it probably thought it was going
to
be.
I have listened to it, and now all of a sudden, like, every day I'm getting pretty much the exact same tweet sent to me, almost like there's a bot farm. What, like, bots are just deciding
a Josh Allen draft reaction bot,
maybe. So I you know, I've listened to it. It's,
huh.
If you see it, listen to it. It's kind of funny. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that. Okay, so on the schedule, the Bills are playing Monday Night Football at home in Week 2.
And they did not announce it as their home opener. The Eagles did announce their Week 2 game against the Vikings as their home opener. And I think, what are we trying to do now? We're trying to figure out if an email sent by the Bills is like a generic kind of, you know, format that the NFL sends out, that your home opener will be announced on May 12th at 6 o'clock. Or do we think that they're going to announce their home opener on May 12th at 6 o'clock, which would mean that the Titans game is not their home opener?
Right.
We need to find the Eagles email, is what we need to do. I texted my brother to see if he's on that list of emails, and he is not. So I have not tracked it down yet. But that's the key. The key to unlocking this is getting the Eagles ticket email.
Right. I guess, it comes down to, did the Bills send the term I was looking for, Buffalo Rumbling tweeted out, you meant boilerplate. Like, this is the template that you send out, we'll announce our home opener on this day. And it's possible that, you know, that would work for 29 teams, but for the three teams that are in these announcements, it's different. I'm going to take it the other way and think that they actually have a home opener and they're opening at home. And Week 2, they're at home on Monday Night Football. That's what I'm going to operate under the assumption of.
You think this Titans game is going to be their home opener?
No.
You did the opposite.
I trust the email is correct.
Okay.
That their home opener will be announced Thursday, because they didn't say it was their home opener. The yes. Eagles did. I think the Eagles did, and their email will not say we're going to announce our home opener. So I think they will open at home. Yes.
Okay. I am going under the belief that that is also correct.
Okay.
That they week one will be the home game, ruling out Thursday night at the Rams, which is a little disappointing. I think I prefer the 1 o'clock or even 4 o'clock. This the home game, beautiful weather day. Give me New England. Give yep. me Miami. Give me one of my division opponents.
Not the Jets.
Not the Jets. The Jets don't. Not enough.
And to me, this is an important point to make. I've got a couple of texts, a couple of tweets on this about I want the Jets. Patrick tweets in. Give me the Jets week one, like a fifth preseason game with starters. Prime the pump. I mean, I'm not going to be upset if that's the case, and I understand what you're saying, Patrick, but for me, I would have done that the entirety of the drought. Give me a game I'm going to win. Mm-hmm. I need to feel good about this team. I don't feel that way anymore. I don't want a fifth preseason game. What I want from this team is for them in week one to beat somebody that rates enough that we are engaged. We're already back in, you know, regular season mode. Baltimore's on the road, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. If it's at home, Miami matters enough. New England matters enough. Green Bay, Chicago, Detroit do not.
Nope.
Minnesota, sure. They would rate enough. You know,
it would be more about it just being opening day.
Yeah, than a matchup.
Maybe do you want that? Because if it's already going to be kind of a featured game, because it's your first game of the season, weather should be nice, it's your home opener, it's a party, everyone's back in the building. Does it matter as much who your week one opponent is? I might be talking myself into like Minnesota, yeah. Pittsburgh, or Cleveland as like I'd be okay with that for week one. Because
right.
I'm going to care about that Patriot game. I'm going to care about that Dolphin game later in the schedule, regardless of where it is.
That's right. Yeah, the home opener is the home opener. It rates no matter what. So if it's Bills-Lions, it's weird. But yeah, we're all there to kind of celebrate the start of the season. If they open at home, here's the other part of that. That means you're home week one. We know they are home week two, Monday Night Football. That's not speculation if you're just tuning in. That is confirmed, announced, the team, everything. They are home week two, Monday Night Football at 7:15. I also don't think that we'll be getting Joe Buck and Troy Aikman for that game.
I don't either.
They're going to Philly, right?
ABC is the Eagles and Vikings game, if that matters, and ESPN is Bills and Titans.
Which would lead you to ask the question, which is better, ESPN or ABC? I don't think it's a slam dunk that ABC is better. Yesterday, ESPN's carrying playoff basketball when ABC's carrying F1. And playoff basketball does a better mark than F1 does.
That's true.
And there are plenty of times there's a marquee event that is on ESPN and ABC has an infomercial. You know, network TV is, I don't know, I'm not sure on this and how they'll divvy up Aikman and Buck versus who the secondary team will be. Which, do we know who the second team is?
Is Joe Tessitore still under contract?
I don't know.
Hanging around? Booger McFarland? Maybe it's Steve Levy.
Maybe.
Steve Levy and Lewis Riddick. Last year's team. I mean, or maybe it's just the Mannings.
Bills-Titans, I guess I would ask it this way. Is Bills-Titans definitely a better game and a bigger draw than Eagles-Vikings?
I think so.
I do too.
I do. The Bills are an A team, I think, for this.
And the Vikings are at best a B, and the Eagles are at best a B.
Same.
A B plus.
I think the Titans, Vikings, and Eagles are almost all kind of the same to me.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Bills outrank them all. So I think because of the Bills and Allen, I think the Bills game is better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Buck and Aikman though in Philly. Right?
I think so.
Am I just doing the Fox thing of just being accustomed to watching them do NFC East games for my entire life right. that I'm saying they're going to be on the Eagles game? But I think that's what I'm doing right
now. What they're going to do? They're going to put Buck and Aikman in Philadelphia, and Troy Aikman's going to complain he's not calling the other game like he did in the playoffs, right? They put him in the Bucks game, and he was upset that he was not calling the Dallas game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get Troy Aikman on so he can complain. I wonder, how does a Manning cast deal with two games?
Do you think there just won't be a Manning cast?
Maybe they do both games.
We're already splitting our audience within two. Let's not do it within three.
Yeah. Dan in Florida.
5 minutes away.
Dan, good morning. You're on.
Hey, bud. I want the Bills to have another no-punt game with the Patriots where we don't have the excuse of saying those 59-mile-an-hour winds, that that's why we lost. So let's make it 5 out of 6 times that we beat them in now 3 years and have a blast doing it with no punts, and we beat them 35-7.
I mean, I love the Patriots as an opening opponent.
I do like the idea of just having that to hold over their heads for the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it, that, and this could go the other way if the game goes the other way. I wouldn't anticipate that given how the last two games looked. But should the Bills just throttle the Patriots in week one? That'd be nice to have in your back pocket for anything New England does the rest of the season. For, yeah, but the Bills crushed them in week one. So how for real are they really?
Yeah, you know who recently suffered this fate? By the way, it's so fun to just talk about the Bills being this dominant force.
I know.
And like, it's not lost on me that we sound like New England used to sound, and I'm just going to enjoy that.
Yep.
But you know who just lived this life was the Dolphins. The Dolphins had a decent season, but in week two, the Bills laid the hammer, right? You blow out the Dolphins in week two, you injure Tua. The Bills kind of ended Miami's season in week two. Any talk about how good they could possibly be was thumped down by the Bills in week two last year.
Yeah.
And then, sure, Tua got healthy. Oh, they're playing well. They look better. The whole time, if you were a Bills fan, you had, please, right. Come on. You know who's the king in the division here. And if the Bills play the Patriots in week one, yeah. Last year, they had to wait until week 13. You know,
week 13. And then after we had week 13, like, imagine, I know it maybe wouldn't have, because how likely was it you're going to get a win game like that in the month of September? But imagine at that week 13 game, been week one.
Yeah.
Imagine those 2 weeks dealing with Boston, the media, the fans, the social media, however much you were invested in all of that. Imagine having to have that for
2 months.
Right. Like, that's the downside of having it. But again, what would they be? We said maybe 6.5 for the Titans game. Would they be a 6.5-point favorite against the Patriots? They'd probably win that game.
Maybe 7.5. Maybe 8.5. I mean, the Patriots haven't forced a punt in 2 games. and they lost J.C. Jackson. And
the linebacker, right? Did they lose Hightower?
Yep, Dante Hightower.
They cut Kyle Van Noy. Yeah, they've not had an off season where you'd think they're any better than when they met the Bills in the wild card.
Yeah.
All right, I'm convinced. I like Bills Patriots. Bills Patriots over Bills Dolphins. Bills Dolphins. I can wait around for that. I like the unknown of Miami a little bit. Like how that's going to look against the Bills. Like week 6, 7, 8, 9, like I can wait for Miami. New England, let me just beat them down to start the season.
Get Miami a couple weeks to get like one long Tyreek Hill touchdown on the board before you can go in there.
Yeah, let them build themselves up a little bit so I can just send them crashing down to earth the moment that they play each other. I like that.
803-0550. Schedule news. We know the Bills are playing Monday Night Football week 2 against the Tennessee Titans. So get ready for it. September 19th. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Levy and Riddick. There you go. That's the second team.
It is Levy and Riddick?
Yep. Somebody tweeted into me that said that Good Morning Football said Levy and Riddick is the number 2 team. So there you go. Titans, Bills, 7-15. Vikings, Eagles. The staggered start. We have not seen that before.
Never. I don't think.
Right? The doubleheaders in the past, usually it's a 7-15 and then it's a 10 o'clock West Coast game. Staggered start is, I mean, I want to go ahead and say it's odd to see ESPN have two of its own games go against one another with a staggered start.
It's very strange. Are they trying to do, I don't know what they're trying to do. Like, I like Red Zone because I have a million games on at once and I could be watching multiple games. But when you're a prime time game like that, and it's only going from 1 to 2, why? What's the point? I guess.
Yeah.
It's very confusing.
And
to me.
On that,
I don't like it either.
A point that's made about the NFL occasionally, Joe, is that if they ran every single game individually, not against any other games, every single game would get good ratings.
Yep.
So often, when they have Sundays at 1 o'clock and Sundays at 4 o'clock, the reason they create these other broadcast windows is because the way it used to be, if you just still had 6 games at 1 and 6 games at 4, you're eating your own product. Like, you're really digging into your own viewers. And here, they're going kind of back to that with an overlap on Monday Night Football. That's interesting. I'll be interested to hear what ESPN has to say, what people have to say about what it ultimately means. All right, we'll get a break in. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550 to join us here on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bills are playing the Tennessee Titans on September 19th on Monday Night Football. Stay tuned for the full schedule coming Thursday. Go Bills!
That was tweeted out from the Bills account. SpongeBob SquarePants. References in there.
Bikini Bottom news.
Is that what they usually do the news as?
Yes.
I've seen...
The fish.
Yeah, the fish.
That just always in the same position, talking up.
Yep. I've seen a little bit of SpongeBob. I don't know if I've ever seen the news program, though.
Maybe they don't... Are you watching, like, more recent SpongeBob? It was a staple of the classic SpongeBob episodes.
I couldn't tell you which seasons of SpongeBob I am finding my way to and which ones I'm not. I don't know. DraftKings lists the spread in Bills-Titans as 7. Bills minus 7, which I think is about right.
Yep.
We guessed 6.5, 5.5, 7.
They're going to be favored in... almost every game that they play, they're going to be an underdog. How many games? 2?
Yeah.
At the Chiefs, at the Rams?
Depends. And that depends on how the season goes. I mean, yeah. when the schedule comes out, they might be underdogs in 2 by the time they get there, if they play well. You know.
At the Bengals? That one might be really close.
That's a tough one.
That could be a pick 'em even. Maybe 3. Maybe 3. I think they'll be favored in Baltimore. I think they'll be an underdog in Kansas City and L.A., and maybe in Cincinnati. I don't know.
Quick story for you. So a stat on – have we done stat of the day? We did. Okay. I can do another one. Anyway, the Kentucky Derby. So Rich Strike wins the Kentucky Derby. You may not be surprised to find out they have some analytics on the Derby, on horses and how they run. So they can track the speed that a horse runs. Rich Strike, max speed was 44.2 miles per hour. 44. No other horse hit that speed during that race. And the way to say this is that Rich Strike, the gap from the Derby winner to the second highest maximum speed was the same difference between the second highest and the 19th out of 20. So he was the field faster than the second fastest horse.
At his top speed.
Top speed. This horse found a top speed like no other. They kept saying on the broadcast of the Derby that there was nothing, nothing at all to indicate this horse had this race in him.
No history, nothing. No results. He wasn't even, 31 hours before the race, he wasn't even in it.
Is this like the David Ayers story? The e-bug goes in and beats the Leafs?
This would be like David Ayers goes in and turns away 30 shots, I feel like, on a shutout. You know, like, because, again, it's the horse reaching a... It's not like all the horses in front of him fell down.
Right.
And then he just, like, walks across the finish line. It was... He reached a speed that no one else touched.
Yeah.
Which is the craziest part of it, maybe.
And for a couple of weeks, he'll get the chance to be that starting goaltender, I guess you could say, in relation to David Ayers, because, you know, he'll probably run in the Preakness Stakes.
Brayton Wilson's in studio. We have Brayton in because there's another event coming up this week. It's not just all schedule releases. The NHL lottery is Wednesday. Today, no, it's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I don't know what day it is anymore. Yeah.
I thought it was 9:51 an hour ago. So
that's true that you did. I knew it was the 10th. I guess I thought today was the 8th. Anyway, tomorrow is the NHL draft lottery. The Sabres don't have a great chance to win. The Vegas Golden Knights don't have a great chance to win. If Vegas wins, they could move up to the 6th pick, and the Sabres would have to probably wait a year on having that pick they got in the Eichel trade. So, Brayton, as we sim the lottery, the Sabres sit in 9th place. That means their most likely spot to draft is 9th, and they could draft as high as 10th.
11th.
Or 11th.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I was doing the math of teams that could jump in front of them. So they could draft as high as 11th or as low as 1, or flip that around, however you want to say it, because the first and second pick are drawn for. So how much should Sabres fans invest in this 5% chance to win the lottery?
Well, I think we've seen in past history that anything is possible. I mean, the odds are really, really weird. I think the Sabres have a 5.5% chance of winning the draft lottery this year, if my memory serves me correct. So, at least with their pick. And then they have a 0.5 chance or something like that with the Vegas pick at 16. But the lowest pick I think we've ever seen, and Joe, you might be able to help me out on this, the lowest pick we've ever seen win the draft lottery was Dallas when they won Miro Heiskanen years ago.
What about the Rangers when they went up to number 2? Weren't they like in the 15-2?
They were really low.
They were low, but...
They didn't go to number...
Right, they went to number 1 for Lafreniere, but I think they were like 8th or something like that.
Well, and Vegas can only go up to what, 6?
6.
They go up
right.
10 spots.
Yeah, the change of the rules this year is really unique. It's different from years past, and... I just think they should shoot the lottery entirely to the sun. they should just do the NFL style. But certainly, though, when you look at the class this year, and I've made mention to you guys in the past, Shane Wright is the number one guy. He's going to go number one to Montreal or whoever's going to pick number one by winning the lottery. And, you know, he's a really solid two-way centerman right down the middle, 6'1", 187 pounds. But there are a lot of people that like to link him to, like, a Patrice Bergeron type of center, which is, you know, I'm not a big fan of player comparisons, but he certainly has the frame to be able to build into it a little bit more and become a dynamic two-way guy down the middle. So certainly Shane Wright is the number one guy. And then after that, from 2 to when the Sabres pick to 9, it's
wide open.
It's kind of a crapshoot. It's a little bit wide open everywhere. And, you know, it's a good class this year. I mean, the top 10 is a pretty darn good class, pretty good group of players that are coming out. Some of these players probably could contend to make a jump to the NHL right away. I think of Jaroš Slavkovský from, you know, Slovakia, or even another Slovakian in Simon Nemec. But other than that, you know, a lot of these guys, a few of them are going to college right off the bat. So, you know, there'll be another year or two away for development purposes, but certainly this year's class seems to be a pretty good crop of players.
Yeah, you know, Owen Power was a bit of a, you know, not quite the norm going back to college as a number one overall pick.
Right.
Would expectation for Shane Wright be that he'll be in the NHL next year?
I think so. Unless, you know, he comes to camp and with wherever he goes and shows that he clearly isn't ready to make the jump. But I think a lot of people feel that he's, you know, I don't think he's necessarily as hyped as he maybe was to start the year. I think he kind of had a slow start but got hot as the year went on. But, I mean, certainly there are people that think he could make the jump right away, and there are other people that think that maybe he does go back to juniors for another year. I don't personally know what a team might do, but certainly Shane Wright, again, he has the frame to be able to build some strength to him, and I think once he does that, he'll be a really solid piece down the middle. But again, whether he's ready year one or year two, that's yet to be determined.
Yeah, I feel like we're somewhere between, this is how it seems at least to me, we're somewhere between it's a bad draft year and there's a generational number one overall pick. Like, it seems like
right.
if you win the lottery, cool, awesome. It might not be franchise changing, but it also wouldn't be like, oh, I won the lottery when there wasn't a good player.
Right.
Because often that's all, an amazing player, like Taylor Hall
right.
is a lottery win. You know, yeah. like McKinnon's not described as generational, but he's pretty darn good.
Oh, my goodness.
He might be now.
He might be now.
You got Matthews, yeah. McDavid, McKinnon.
Next year with Bedard and Mishkov right at the top there.
Yeah.
Two guys that are considered to be the next, you know, generation of hockey players
sure.
coming yeah. in the same year.
Maybe like an Ekblad year where it's Ekblad, yeah. Draisaitl, who, you know, if Draisaitl had gone number one, that would probably fit about right. So, yeah, I mean, no one's going to be upset about getting Shane Wright, of
no.
course. You know, the other thing about this gentleman, as we talk, the draft lottery is tomorrow night. Where would the Sabres, if you were just to guess, with the Bills, we do this, like, corner. Take a corner, easy. With the Sabres, what's the answer? Oh, they definitely got to take a... I mean, on defense, they're pretty ripe.
They're pretty fine. If anyone on defense, they need right-shot defensemen at this point.
I think what they need on defense is NHL-proven veterans because
sure.
you've
yeah.
already got two number one picks on your defense. The idea of taking... I'm not saying you wouldn't take a defenseman number nine if it came down to it. It's just, you know, finding needs for this team. You know, when they took Jack Quinn, people thought they needed a center more than they needed a winger. And Jack Quinn turned out to be just fine.
Well, certainly with this year's draft, it's a very forward-rich draft. The top defenseman is Simon Nemec. After him, it's David Juracek from the Czech Republic. And after that, your next defensemen are going to be a little ways down on the pecking order. But, I mean, this is definitely a forward-rich draft. Lots of good wingers, lots of good centermen down the middle. You know, with that ninth pick, I mean, if at that point for the Sabres, I'm just taking best forward available at that point. However they see the board fall to them at number nine, whoever that best forward is in that group of, you know, that number two spot to number 10 spot where they see that really good group of forwards there, or good group of players, however it falls to them right there, whoever they feel is the best player available for them at that point or wherever they happen to pick, I think that's the best way to go. But certainly, I think they go forward, whether they go specifically right wing, left wing, centerman. I mean, I think they probably could afford to go on the wing again because I think their center depth is relatively okay.
I think we can at least rule out goaltender.
Yeah.
Now, I know they don't have one for next season that we know is like rock solid, but you've already got three in the system. You feel like it'd be a little too crowded. And I'm not sure, you could tell me if I'm wrong on this. I don't think I've seen any mock draft where like, oh, there's this great goaltender who's going in the first round.
Yeah, no, I mean, looking at the group of goaltenders this year in this year's draft, there's not really anyone that stands out among everybody else. So, you know, I think it's fair to safe to say there, Joe.
Center is the position I think about the most because they have three guys. They have Thompson, they have Cousins, and they have Krebs. And you might not need any of the three to really turn into, oh, this guy's a great number one center. If all of them they're all good number two guys, you could get away with that, and that could work. But that's the one position where it's like, do they have that franchise number one center? Again, they might turn out to be where they don't need one, but if you're telling me that this is a class deep with centermen, like, I just kind of want to keep taking stabs at that. That's where I'm at.
I like it. What was I going to get to? It's something else. Which former Sabre are we rooting for in the playoffs? I bring this up to bring up something that Joe, I saw when you retweeted. Evan Rodriguez, two goals and a primary assist for the Penguins in their latest win over the New York Rangers.
72% expected goals for, I think, in that game.
Yes. Now, 78%.
78%.
78% goodness. Expected goals for at 5-on-5 in that game for Rodriguez.
I don't think my answer is him, but
no.
I'm not rooting against him. Reinhart?
Sure.
Yeah.
I think for me it might be Reinhart. I was rooting... Well, let me stop myself there. I was thinking about like, all right, this, I'd feel good for Linus Ullmark if he really went on a run here.
Yep.
But I very quickly stopped myself and said, but it's the Bruins.
You know,
and it's Boston, so I can't do that.
You know who I got to throw a name out for there is Marcus Foligno. I think he's become a perennial player for that Wild team. I think he's an alternate captain, and I think he's become more than I think they even expected that he would become for that franchise. So I mean, if Minnesota goes on a deep run and wins the Stanley Cup, sure, it'd be another team that, you know, never won the Stanley Cup to win a Stanley Cup before the Sabres, but you know, I think there's a lot of fun storylines out of Minnesota with that team, with Kirill Kaprizov, with Marc-Andre Fleury going there after, you know, saying so many times, I don't want to be traded, and then it's like, ah, okay, I'll go to Minnesota.
He's from Buffalo, too. Buffalo native, winning the cup would be another.
Who's that?
Marcus Foligno.
Foligno.
Oh, yeah, of course. You were talking about Kaprizov. I was like, wait.
Yeah.
He is not a Buffalo native.
No, neither is Marc-Andre Fleury.
He's fun to watch.
Oh, my God, he's so fun to watch.
Rodriguez, no one's rooting for O'Reilly again, right?
No. He already won a cup.
We're not rooting for Evander Kane. We're not rooting for... Is Cal Peterson count? He's not playing anyway.
No.
And I think a lot of people like that.
Foligno's, I think, the best answer here.
Yeah. The one thing about, you know, it's funny, stereotypes and all that about Minnesota versus Florida. If I were to say to you guys, you know, which team would you feel right winning a Stanley Cup, Minnesota or Florida?
Minnesota.
You'd say Minnesota. Yeah. You'd say Minnesota. Oh, it's the state of hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Fans care.
Do they? Matthew Collar, who works in Minnesota now, covers the Vikings, has been there for, I don't know, like 6-7 years. I asked him a while back about the Wild, and it's going to sound like I'm taking a shot. I'm not taking a shot. He compared it to the Bandits here. He said they filled the building. They've got a following. They've got a fan base. But he said the Wild don't rate compared to the Vikings, the Twins, the T-Wolves, even college hockey. He basically said,
I mean, that
the Minnesota Wild, not to say they don't have fans, it just means, like, no, it's not what you would think it is in the state of hockey.
I mean, if people are watching that team now, they should be a fan of that team just because, again, with Kaprizov in the picture, I mean, he changes the entire dynamic of that roster from top to bottom. I mean, it's going to suck, though, because they have the Ryan Suter buyout and the Zach Parise buyout that's going to really just cap-stricken them for the next few years. But, you know, Kaprizov in itself is the equivalent as to what people thought, like, Jack Eichel was going to be here with Buffalo, or it's just like he's a guy that could carry the team to the playoffs. He's a guy that can carry that roster all the way through. And, you know, Jack Eichel showed that at times here in Buffalo, but they just could never get over the hump, whereas Kaprizov just, I mean, he's dynamite. He's electric.
See, that is absolutely against the, like you said, the narrative of, like, what you would think Minnesota, state of hockey, the Wild, they fill up the building. That comparison, like, that's going to sit with me. The Bandits, because I would have guessed they're like us. They're doing radio segments on what line Kirill Kaprizov should be on.
Nope.
No.
And it's just like, okay, doesn't rate? All right.
In Florida, meanwhile, have we reached a period of time long enough where, yeah, fine, go ahead. You're in the South. It's nice out there. Who cares? Go ahead and win the cup.
Yeah. I'm fine with it. I could care less if Florida wins the cup this year. Hey, it'd be a great story to see Reinhart win the Stanley Cup after the time that he had here, and, you know, see that team. Because that team, I think, that's one of the few teams in the NHL where you look at them right now and you see their lineup on paper, and it's like they've got five NHL lines on their forward group. Five.
Better not lose to Washington.
Right. Right. It's not looking too good right now.
Three cups in a row, though, for the state of Florida? That I might have a bigger problem with. Than the Panthers winning.
Doesn't faze me.
The Islanders just fired Barry Trotz, by the way.
Really?
Oh, all right.
Really?
Wow, that's
just
tough.
Now, Lou Lamoriello announcing that they've relieved Barry Trotz.
They had a terrible start.
And then
a totally normal season. They were awful out of the gates, and then they were fine, and they couldn't make it up. And that's a wow.
You know the team that needs to go hire Barry Trotz now? The Kraken. Seattle had the expected, you know, expansion franchise season where the team looked terrible, but their coach is Dave Hextall. Like, what did he prove in Philadelphia that even led him to become the head coach in the first place? What did he prove this year in Seattle that leads them to keep him as the head coach?
It's a good thing the Sabres have a coach we all feel good about, because today I'd be firing the Sabres coach for Barry Trotz in a heartbeat.
I agree. I think he's going to end up in Toronto. That's my guess.
Especially if the Leafs lose another playoff series.
It would have to come with that, yeah. Because Keith's not getting fired if they win their first playoff series in 16 years. But,
one quick note. So, again, the Bills are home. Monday night, week two. The email announcing their home week two said, we will announce our home opener on Thursday.
Yep.
Lending, I should even say, that's them saying we're home week one. Whether or not they intend to, that's what that says. We wondered, could that be an accident? Blah, blah, blah. And Greg writes in, the Chiefs announced their week two game is their home opener.
They did. Okay.
Yes. So when the Chiefs announced week two, Amazon, they said that's our home opener. The Eagles, who are playing the same night as the Bills in their home in the Monday night game, the Eagles said that's our home opener. So teams that have announced games early, where it has been the home opener, have said this is our home opener. The Bills had a game announced and said we will announce our home opener on Thursday.
So week one is home.
I don't think it's that complicated to say. I'm responding to one person on Twitter, John, who's trying to tell me we're assuming too much. They're literally saying the words, we'll announce our home opener on Thursday, when other teams have announced this is our home opener.
I think it's fair to assume.
Absolutely. If they open on the road, okay. The email says we're opening at home, whether they intend to or not. All right, there you go. I tied up all those loose ends. Brayton, thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Extendo Sports on the other side. And Howard's back tomorrow here on WGR.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, Extendo Sports time. Extra Point Show is on the way. Sal Capaccio will be jumping in. Sal, you've got a Monday night football game to talk about.
I mean, a great gift from the NFL gods this morning to give the Extra Point Show, right? I mean, you guys have been talking about it, dissecting it. I'm going to do the same thing. How's it hit everybody out there? What does it mean for week one? Yeah, Jeremy, I don't know. I think this email thing is really interesting. I think it's a very cryptic, interesting way to sleuth through it, clues.
I feel like it's pretty straightforward, is it not?
I don't think it is as much as
the
you.
Chiefs,
I just don't.
The Chiefs and the Eagles have both announced their games as their home openers.
Yes, I do think it leads to that. I don't think it has to be, is my point. I think you could very easily just see that the way I read the email is it says starting at 6 p.m. on May 12th, the home opener will be announced. And tickets will go on sale. So why don't they just – that does not stop them from saying at 6 p.m. on May 12th, hey, our home opener is week two against the Titans.
But wouldn't that be weird, two announcements for the same game?
Yeah, because it's not.
But they didn't say tickets will go on sale separately.
I don't even understand. What?
Well, they didn't – there was nothing that said tickets for this game will go on sale and then separately say tickets for the home opener will go on sale. What I'm saying is they could just tie it together and say, hey, we told you that. That's also our home opener, so tickets are going on sale. I know. I agree with you. They didn't do it like everybody else. I'm just leaving room for interpretation here that doesn't have to be.
Starting at 6 o'clock. Okay.
Right. Do you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't say tickets for this game will go on sale at a certain time and tickets for the home opener will go on sale separately.
You're saying the omission of Titans tickets being available could mean it that.
Correct. It could simply mean this is the home opener when they announce it.
Okay.
I'll just say this. That's a mistake on their part. If that's how it happened, then it's a mistake.
Yeah, that's kind of how I view it too, because I don't
know
why
you wouldn't. Do you see anything in the email about tickets for this game going on sale?
If you announce the Titans game and then say we will announce our home opener on Thursday, you're telling me the Titans is not your home opener.
Okay. I understand how you can interpret it. I don't think it has to be that way.
All right. Who knew that there would be smokescreen season, Sal? We can't get enough smokescreens.
I know. I think this is that's right. That's why we'll talk about it. I don't know. I'm not saying you're wrong. I think that you're more than likely you are correct, Jeremy.
I don't know. I mean,
I just don't think it has to be that way. I think it could be the same game.
All right. If it is, that's fine. Because I don't mind the idea of opening on the road. And I think opening home, you know,
When's the last time, you guys remember?
Not just that, but Sal, this is a year where they have 9 road games. Right?
So like, that's correct.
The idea of smashing
the road a lot.
Right, smashing too early later. Means you have 9 road games in the next 15 weeks, 16 weeks. So I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see. All right.
Do you remember the last time they opened with 2 home games?
No.
I believe it was E.J. Manuel's rookie year when they came back and beat Carolina with a Stevie Johnson. It was New England, then Carolina, 2013.
A forgetful New England game. I always forget about that one. I
could be wrong. I think that was it.
Wrap up. Did you see Doug Whaley has a second interview for the Steelers GM job, former Bills general manager?
Did not.
Doug Whaley, second interview. Tom Pelissero, I believe, had it. He's going to have a second interview with the Steelers for their vacancy now that Kevin Colbert left after the draft ended.
Well, good for Doug. Congratulations to him. I know he loves Pittsburgh. Like, he's been a part of that community. He's been a part of that organization, so I'm sure that's something he really wants. I was wrong. 2015, Tyrod opens up at home against Indy with Percy Harvin. Then they also play New England the next week and lose 40-32.
Okay. EJ.
No, that was Tyrod.
Or Tyrod, sorry, right, Tyrod.
That's the last time they had 2 home games. I don't know. It's a great mystery, guys. I love the way you're trying to figure it out because I'm doing the same thing here.
I mean, I'm just going to say my figuring it out is just reading what they wrote. And
my figuring out is reading what they did not write.
Okay, but like, that's where I'm at, too. I feel like if I am keep being open to the idea that the week one game will be on the road, I feel like I have to jump to they're misleading everyone into an announcement that's coming at 6 o'clock. If there was an announcement coming, why wouldn't they just say starting at 6 o'clock, tickets will go on sale for our home opener?
Right, which is what the Chiefs and the Eagles did do.
But they said the home opener will be announced and tickets will go on sale.
Correct.
So for me, I agree. I'm 100% ironclad that I would be floored if they did not announce a different game at that announcement.
All right, Sal, I'm ready for 2 hours of it, so hit me with
it. Let's do it, baby. Thad Brown's going to join me at 11. Rochester Amherst stuff, too, with Thad, because obviously he's out there. But we'll talk schedule and draft.
Extra Point Show on the way.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.